Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
As I lay the last piece of a broken cup to make a perfect portrait of my ex on the table, I knew that the quarantine was starting to get to me. I was never much of a homebody before the lockdown. My house was always spotless, as I never spent much time at home. But now, it was a cluster of many projects, finished and unfinished, that were snapshots of my sanity. The hobby started simple enough, baking sweet rolls, wholesome. However, supplies started running low, and I realized excessive cooking was wasteful on my necessary resources. Across my kitchen counter were various sculptures that I modeled from torn-up books that were gifted from friends. On the coffee table was a big papier-mâché figure I slathered together, all of which resembled my ex. I could tell that it was still on my mind, and the solitude was not helping with the process. I was doing well in life when I was able to leave the house to work my long-hour job, run errands, and hang out in the local tavern afterwards. However, none of that was possible now. I had not equipped my house for extended entertainment, and the remote location made normal commodities very unreliable. As I stared at the cupboards, supplies dwindling, the idea of leaving my house and getting stock kept crossing my mind. Except for one thing. The person outside. You see, my house has been boarded up, the doors barricaded, and the windows all drawn shut. Because since I've locked myself up, I've been plagued by a figure trying to get in. My ex, Sarah. We were supposed to be in quarantine together. We both were settling okay at first on the way to my cabin. She couldn't stay with the folks, so was forced to stay with me. But when she left me briefly to get a bag and some firewood, the person who came back wasn't her. Or at least, I didn't think so. I almost let her in. Almost. But when I felt something was off, I slammed the door and locked up the house. Since then, she's been tapping at the windows, crying, whining about being let back in, that it's cold, that she wants to cuddle. The temptation is there. It really is. But there's something off about her that I just couldn't place. And that night was no different. As I lay down for the night, my stomach churning from a lack of filling, the soft taps rang out downstairs. Sobs of sorrow echoed into my ears, a cacophony accompanying the low rumbles of my stomach. My sleep didn't come easy that night, and when it did, it was restless at best. When my breakfast was a tablespoon of oats and tap water, I knew it was time I had to make a move. The food supply was dangerously low, and as I laid the last ripped up tissue to make a perfect portrait of Joseph Joestar from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, now opting to make fictional characters to get Sarah off my mind, I knew my sanity was matching the rate of my food supply. The way to town was quite a while away. I often relished in the fact that I lived in a nice wooden cabin in the sticks, the cool snow painting my place in a scenic glow. However, the isolation now gave it a more colder tone. I had to pack more essentials than a townsperson would to journey to the market. I filled my pack with some waterproofs, a few necessities for direction, and some emergency snacks, and spent the rest of the time mentally preparing how I was going to do the journey. The trip was going to be an hour's walk at least, unless I could hitch a ride on the main path from some horse-drawn carts that bounced back and forth to the town. Something that was easy to do when there was traffic, but I hadn't heard wheels rolling outside my house since the town was put on hold. I knew the trip would most likely last an hour on foot both ways. The only thing setting me back was the thought of running into her. Still, it was either that or starve, and have to make the journey on an empty stomach, and I'd rather hazard my chances with a bit of strength in my body. So I prepared myself to journey out and stay on my toes. I pulled away the barricades and worked my way out. Outside, I made sure the door was locked, and I set to placing a few heavy objects in front, just in case. I didn't want any surprises waiting for me when I got back. After that, I made my way to the main path that led straight into the local town. It was an easy journey as long as I stuck to the main trail, a relatively straight shot which only diverged to other people's cabins. If you knew not to go down those smaller personal paths, you couldn't get lost, unless you actually left the trails. Even that wouldn't be a problem either, as long as you headed south. You could wander to the east or west a fair bit, and still be able to make it if you corrected at a reasonable point. However, a known rule was to never head north. North was the border to the neighboring country. The guards there were rough if they thought you were trying to sneak across. It was very rare that anyone would, but they were paid to catch people crossing, so they made sure it looked like that, even if you weren't. With that in mind, I kept the simple rules at the tip of my thoughts and hastened to the path. As I navigated into the wooded area that surrounds my exit, a rustling became quickly apparent. Something was moving in front of me, and it was fast. I paused, trying to locate it, but it very quickly located me. From the brush slumped out my ex, Sarah, looking ragged as hell. "Why are you doing this?" she called out meekly. But I didn't give a chance to converse as I dashed away, trying to create as much distance as possible. She instantly started cutting off the path back, so I had to circumnavigate around to try to get back to my house. My plan was to work my way around at a fast pace so I could make it to the back door, knowing the front was blocked off. I just had to hope I could push what was barricading inside the door once I unlocked it. But I never got the chance. Every move I made was met with a counter move from her. I shifted my direction left. She banked right towards the house, getting ahead. I would twist around and run back to the path, and she would answer in tow. It was a game of cat and mouse, but from the growing sounds around me, I was slowly losing. I tried, I really did, but eventually, she was within a few feet, and I just stopped. So did she. Slowly, she walked up, hesitancy in her steps, a different tune from just moments ago. "Why? Why do you keep running?" she whimpered. I just stared at her, a mix of anger and guilt coursing through me. It's true that I held a deep-seated resentment to whatever was standing in front of me, but seeing her face just melted it away. Suddenly, while looking at her eyes, I was starting to question my resolve. Had I just been locking out my ex during one of the most turbulent events in our lifetime? I stared at her, trying to figure her out. She was weather-beaten, that was for sure. Her clothes were pockmarked with rips from the wilderness. Her face was no longer smooth porcelain, but smudged and speckled with nature. She clutched her bag tightly in her hands, the object she went out for before she changed. I tried thinking back to why I thought it wasn't her, but my mind started drawing blanks. You're not her," I accused, a hollow attempt at getting a confession. Her reply was wordless, just a look of sadness washing over her face, leaving the ball in my court to explain myself. But I couldn't. My eyes darted around, the guilt causing me to lose my ability to maintain eye contact. I was wavering. Then a resolve hit me. I was going to interrogate her. "When is your birthday?" I shot, with a hint of authority in my tone. "The 14th of April," she meekly responded. Okay, I muttered back, unsure if it was right. She was my ex for a reason, and one of those was that I could never remember that blasted day. "What's your favorite color?" I spat out in impulse. Red? She muttered in confusion. A lightning bolt of realization hit me that that answer was wrong. Her favorite color was purple. Was it? I found myself questioning whether I just misremembered that fact since she admired both of those colors a lot. Okay, how did we meet? I tried again, with an aha tone mixed in. Why don't we stop this? Let's just go back to the house. Please. I'm cold and hungry. You left me out for so long. I need rest, she pleaded. I could see sorrow in her eyes. I almost caved in, right then and there. I was leaning forward to give her a hug, console her the best I could, given what I'd just put this poor woman through, when I looked down and saw her bag. It was just as beaten as the rest of her, matching the scars of her lonesome journey, and it was clutched in her right hand, along with the family ring she always wore when out. But I knew, from the years we dated, she did everything with her left hand. I slowly looked up at her, her arms moving out into a welcoming embrace, the small mole under her left eye now sitting on the right, her widow's peak shifted unnaturally to the wrong side. She was a perfect replica of Sarah, down to the smallest detail. But the placement of said details were off by such a small degree, it created an uncanny feel, nauseating for someone who knew her. I took this moment of lulled calmness to compose myself, and ran away as fast as I could. I knew that once she started, she would always block the way back to the path and to my house, so I did the only thing I could. I ran north. It was a rough sprint. The wilderness thickened up the further I went, and I was almost over my head a few times. But the sounds of the approaching galloping behind me hastened my pace and kept me on track. I almost plummeted when I came out of a clearing and into an opening that led to a wide river. Across the wade was a small line fence that was manned by a few patrol officers. From the commotion, they turned and stared at me, contemplating the situation, and most likely, how they could get the most out of it. I didn't have time to ponder on that, however, as the galloping behind me was still rushing at full speed, howls of anguish shooting my way. In a burst of impulse, I took the human threat over whatever it was that was behind me, and jumped forlorn into the water below. I struggled against the cold currents, but very quickly realized how much I overestimated the flow and was pulled around like a ragdoll. The last thing I heard was the border patrol getting into position to apprehend me before I was tossed onto a rock head first.
Hey, you! You're finally awake. You were trying to cross the border, right? Walked right into that Imperial ambush, same as us, and that thief over there.
Damn you, Stormcloaks. Skyrim was fine until you came along. Empire was nice and lazy. If they hadn't been looking for you, they could have stolen that horn. You there, you and me, we shouldn't be here. It's these Stormcloaks the Empire wants.
We're all brothers and sisters in binds now,